The thing about these recorders nowadays is that you used to have a microphone right up close. Mm-hmm. Now it can be here, and while it's weak, you can still interpret it, you know. And then another thing it does is if you quit talking, the tape stops.
Oh,
and then when you start talking again, then it starts going again. So you don't, you're not wasting any tape in it, and you don't have to wait for long pauses.
That's still tricky. That's not going to be very good when we go out to dinner. You're going to have a lot of background music. I like that. Blessed are the quillers, for they shall be peacemakers.
Oh, yeah.
My daughter-in-law did that for us, and one of the other grandchildren, not hers, said, "What does that mean?"
7-year-old.
She couldn't get the play on words.
Well, I had an interesting, she's been into genealogy real deep for years, and I supported it mainly.
Yeah. But, he's taken me places, and he's helped me a lot.
But I've been into it off and on. So I got back into it, trying to find my former piano teachers. Boy, what a whirl that's been.
Well, how did you find me then? You mentioned the records, and you also mentioned Myra, so.
Yeah, well, what I did, of course, is that we lived in the 7th Ward. I knew that. And you were on one corner, and we were on the other corner.
Right.
And so I look in 7th Ward records. Okay, I find your dad, Emil Larson, and Mary Stewart? No.
Grace.
Stewart. There was another name, wasn't there?
Grace Addy.
Grace Addy Stewart. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So I knew that was, I had the right people there. Mm-hmm. And then, let's see. I get confused because I've been looking for 4 people. But anyway, somehow there was a record. See, the things that are open to the public from the church are membership records and what they call the Form E records, which they started shortly after 1900, on which they list offices to be ordained to the priesthood, marriages, and all
marriage
that kind of stuff.
So the
marriages
are on
and
there.
And moving.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's all.
Just
that's right. Uh-huh.
That's all on there.
Mm.
So sometimes you have a hard time. Depends on how good the ward clerk was.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you move from one ward to another ward, the ward clerk's supposed to find that out and write down removed to such and such a ward, and then the new ward's supposed to record that you entered the new ward.
And from
where? Might be your advantage. Some people's advantage to lose their baptism record and then get baptized all over again and start over.
Yeah,
well,
I need to lose mine.
But a lot of the ward clerks are lazy and they don't take the trouble to do that, and so you lose track of people,
yeah,
see.
True.
But anyway, I had a pretty hard time, and I'd have to go back through to see exactly how I found it. But I did find out that you were married to a guy named Brown, and I think pretty young. How old were you when you got married?
19 and a half.
19 and a half. Okay, that's not so young. That's not so
young.
Anyway, well, I was thinking you got married early in that for some reason. Anyway, and that you had removed to the 4th ward.
4th ward?
Yeah.
That's not right.
That's not right, huh?
We never lived in the 4th Ward.
Is that right?
That was on 21st off there, or 20th.
Well,
20th.
I may be getting mixed up with another person I'm trying to trace. My long-term memory is...
How did you finally find her?
Well, okay. I think
point.
I told you how I finally found you. I called Ina Barnes, who you didn't know, but see, we had moved to Marriott, and then we'd moved back to Ogden on 30th Street. And we were in the Ogden 18th Ward. She's in the 9th Ward, but I hadn't found her for many years.
Oh.
And although just across the street from us was 9th Ward.
But the girls were like in the 9th Ward.
We lived in the 9th Ward when I was a kid.
Did you?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, before we moved to 15th.
Is that right?
You knew Maple Ridges then, didn't
you?
Yeah. And she had a picture in the paper not long ago.
Is that so?
Because they had honored her for...
she's still the choir director.
Is that so? She was the backbone of the music in our ward when she was there. Yeah.
But when I was a child, she was a contralto, and I thought that was the most beautiful voice I'd ever heard in my life, and I always admired her singing.
Yes, I did too. I think she was the junior Sunday school chorister when I was a little girl.
Oh.
And she just made everybody love to sing.
Music would run out of church and choir.
So anyway, then.
Well, what happened is that Jack was well known in Ogden for his singing, see, and so this lady Ina Barnes had 18 of us boys in her ward choir, the 18th ward, for quite a number of years, and she would occasionally invite people in. And Myra told me when I finally got to Myra that Ina would invite her in. So anyway, I asked Ina, "Have you ever heard of Jack and where he is?" And she hadn't, but she knew about Myra. And she knew Jack, but she had no idea where he lived. And see, of course, I'd looked in the Ogden phone book for Jack Larson.
Yeah.
Couldn't find him.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, after got to Myra, then it was easy from there on.
I see.
And Myra somehow remembered me, although I hadn't remembered her.
Myra who?
Bingham. Wilson Lane. See,
Jack White's sister.
When we were in Marriott, we were in a four-room schoolhouse out there through the ninth grade. But the year I should have been in ninth grade, they decided that the school was so small they'd take them all over to Wilson Lane. So I got to know some of the Wilson Lane kids.
That's
right.
Well, where did you go then from where we lived there on 15th Street?
Well, okay.
Did you get married there?
Yes. I'll take that back. We may have been in the fourth ward because we moved up into a little apartment on 21st and Adams, but we never went to church there and we weren't there long. So that may have been the fourth ward. I bet it was. I bet that's right. Then we went to Idaho.
You did? Your family moved to Idaho?
For a while.
Where'd you go?
Blackfoot.
Blackfoot.
It sounds like that other story, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I was in Blackfoot for a while, then Pocatello,
then back to Blackfoot.
Well, so where did you two meet?
He lived in Roy, and I had some cousins that lived out there, and they invited me and a cousin of mine from Marysvale, who had come up to visit us in the summer, to come out to the cousin's house, the Greenwoods.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the boys said, "I'm going to invite
my..." What was her name, do you know?
My friend or
the
my
Greenwood.
Cousin? The Greenwood. They were boys.
Oh.
The Gloria was the only girl. All the rest of them were boys. And all of them were deaf except one.
Is that so?
Only one. There were four boys.
Were they born that way?
Yes.
My word. I wonder what caused that.
Well, they surely did try to find out, and I don't know that they ever did, but... all the boys except the one that was my age was deaf, and the girl was younger than I. So anyway, the boy that was Paul's age ran over and got him to come over and meet me, and that's how we met.
He was partially deaf.
Uh-huh. He was not deaf mute.
He said, "You gotta come with me, meet my cousin." And I said, "I'm too busy now. I was working on a car and a grease all over and everything."
No, was this in Ogden or Pocatello?
This was
when I was
Roy.
Well, you were in Roy.
Yeah, she'd come down to meet her, to visit her cousin.
Okay, so your parents were still there on Jefferson Avenue when you guys got married.
They never left. They never left Jefferson. Yep.
Well, what were you doing up in Idaho if your parents were down in Ogden?
I didn't go there until after we were married.
Oh.
And then we were up there because my uncle... Depression.
Yeah, I remember.
My uncle was a veteran and he was in charge of the WPA projects in Bingham County. And they lived in Blackfoot.
Oh.
So he got Paul up there by himself long enough to establish residency.
Uh-huh.
And then I moved up and Paul ran the Blackfoot swimming pool.
Uh-huh.
It was first built.
I'll be darned.
I was really live stating, and then they transferred me into the arts and crafts department, and I taught arts and crafts, and then we moved to Pocatello, so I could go to school at the university there.
Yeah.
In college. And I was involved in adult education, arts and crafts.
Well, a lot of my relatives moved to Idaho Falls.
Oh, did they?
The Tracy relatives.
Oh.
They drifted up to Idaho Falls.
Oh, I see.
Well, did your parents remain there on Jefferson until they died?
Yep, except Dad. After Mama died...
When did your mom die?
What address on Jefferson?
1502. We were right across the street on the southeast corner, and they were on the northeast corner.
Yeah.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And we were all in half houses at that time.
Was yours a half house, too?
A bit. And... I think it was 1956 when my mother died. I don't exactly remember now.
56. Let's see. My mom died in 66, didn't she?
Yeah.
And so did yours.
Oh.
Our mothers died a week apart.
And then Dad stayed there all by himself in the big house for many years and finally came to live with us, and we lived up the street. By then, we had been in another place on 21st South, and we had moved up the street about four houses, and we were in that place. And then we moved down here when Dad was going to come to live with us, so he came here and lived with us until he died.
When did he die?
71.
How old was he?
He would have been 89 that year.
My dad
was
89.
Mm-hmm. How did you two meet?
Well, the wards were adjacent.
Oh, yes, that's what you said.
And it was kind of unusual, really. I kept a diary in 1934, 35, and 36, if you can believe it. Not complete every day. There was a six-month period in 36 that went for six full months, every page. But it's sure, you forget how you were when you were a teenager. But it was boys chasing girls and vice versa. That's all there was to it.
Same thing as the teenagers have.
And, but nobody had cars or stuff like that, so you walked.
Right.
Everybody's walking the streets. Two or three girls would be walking. And the distance we walked were amazing. Just walking around hoping you run into some boys and vice versa.
Right.
That was what it was all about. And I had seen her in Mutual, you know. Girls in your own ward, you know, they weren't
that's
so
right.
neat.
That's right.
Better off somewhere else, you know, greener pastures.
Yeah, pasture.
So I'd float around instead of going to our Mutual. We'd go to the 12th ward or the 9th ward or whatever. So I'd seen her at dances a few times, and I may have smiled at her vice versa once or twice.
Yeah, she'd smile. He'd never asked me to dance.
Did he jingle a little money in his pocket
occasionally? Oh, maybe 10 cents.
Nickels to rub together.
No, that's right.
But anyway, Lane Compton, who was a friend after we had moved back to town in the 18th ward, and I were walking along Washington Avenue, and we're about by the bank. I think, what was that, 24th Street, where the old Ben Lomond Bank used to be, or Ben Lomond Hotel, or whatever it was. 25th in Washington. It's about there, and she walked by. And I watched her go down the street, and then I turned to Lane and I said, "See that girl? I don't know her name, but I'm going to get a date with her." So somehow I learned her name, and then I called her up, and she wouldn't go with me because she's going to a show with her sisters. You were lucky I got brave enough to call you a second time.
Yeah.
But anyway, I finally called and got a date, and we went to show, and then it was downhill sledding mostly from then on.
Yeah.
Although I
uphill.
Went, oh yeah, up well, uphill post.
We were the only married students in the whole student body, in the chemistry department anyway.
they waited till they got through school, usually. And then the war broke out. He got married in September, and then in 41 with Pearl Harbor. Two months later, in December.
And when following to the University of Southern Idaho in Pocatello, as a married man, he was an oddity.
Yeah.
I mean, he would have been. An oddity.
They all thought I was one of the professors. I wanted them.
Well, it was worked out really good for Tracy because the chemistry, the head of the chemistry department felt sorry for him because he was married, needed some money, so he gave him all the nighttime jobs, and of course, the explosive classes opened up after the war started, and so he got all those money.
Made a dollar an hour.
Yeah, wow. That was big money.
At Weber College, I got 15 cents an hour for cleanup work and toilets and stuff, you know. Finally, it got to 25 cents,
yep.
But boy.
It was big money. Dollar an hour was big money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that dollar an hour was real big money.
Yeah.
I also, I had got a job at 50 cents an hour as a junior chemist at Sperry Flour Mills down the end of 30th Street.
Paying you was 50 cents an hour?
Oh, yeah, that was big money, too. So I would hitchhike to Ogden every Friday afternoon, work. After we were married, worked Friday nights, all day Saturday, and into the evening on Saturday, and then try to get back to Salt Lake on Sunday.
You both lived here when you were first married then?
No, we moved to Salt Lake right after we were married, because we were living here there.
Mm-hmm. I'd been down here 1 year alone before we were married, in chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about around our house there. I didn't realize that you'd been over playing hymns for my grandma.
Mm-hmm. That was an interesting
note. Maybe twice, you know, because she was old and she said, could you come over and play a hymn for me? And so I stumbled through them. I mean, hymns are difficult to play and I was never a good pianist. Never. And
thought you were.
Well, I've got to put this in. Adler Rogers St. John said, if you tell it exactly like it is, it will never sell. But I don't know whether you're planning to sell your book or not.
I was doing it for my family.
That's all I'm doing mine for. But I'm very reluctant to take any credit for something I didn't do. And I do not remember helping you at all.
Is that so?
No, and I never professed to be a teacher of... Do you remember the Beelers that ran the little store there, or were you gone?
I remember a little store being to the south of you on the same...
Beeler, not Beener.
Beeler.
Same side of the street.
Yes, and old man Spade ran it.
I remember the name Spade.
Okay, I think the Beelers...
I remember Caldewine's, Hart's.
Hart's, I don't remember.
Johnson. Brother Johnson was our home teacher. And when he would come to home, he had a good singing voice, or at least I thought he did. But when he came to home teach, Grandma would always have him sing a song.
Oh.
And the one she always wanted to hear was, have I done any good in the world today?
It seemed to me she had me play Come Come Ye Saints, but anyway, whatever. But anyway, after Mr. Spade sold his store, the Beelers bought it. And they had a girl named Thelma, and I do remember that I let her come over and I tried to show her something about the piano, but I have no recollection of you.
Is that right?
So
you better tell her.
Like yeah. I say, I'm reluctant.
Well, no, I remember the piece that you loaned. See, you loaned me stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it was Skater's Waltz. That was my...
And she could play it nicely, couldn't she?
Well, she played other things that I remembered. No. But anyway, Skater's Waltz was relatively easy, you know.
Yeah.
Pa, and I don't know how the skating part went, but anyway, it's 3-4 times, something or other.
Uh-huh.
And that was your piece of music that you had loaned to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember something about Wedding of a Painted Doll and
did she come over
and
to your house?
T for Two and Nola. I think I can remember those.
I think I never played Nola. Paul's sister did, but of course I didn't meet him until years later. But she was very agile. She had really good fingers and she played Kitten on the Keys.
Oh, yeah.
But I did play the Winning the Painted Dolls, I'll admit to that.
Okay.
But the others, I think...
Well, how, you ought to admit the T for two, because
yes,
that's an easy one to remember.
I may have done that one, too, and that's not so difficult to play.
Yeah.
But those ones that Nola and Kitten on the Keys...
Well, I don't remember a kitten in the keys. I thought I remembered a Nola. But the Wedding of the Painted Doll was such a name, you know,
yeah,
that you would remember that kind of a name, and also T for two, because it kept doing da 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 da. Yeah.
But I did play Wedding of the Painted Dolls,
because
I liked that.
Okay. I don't remember how that one went.
Da 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 da. It's a holiday today.
It's a
holiday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, in my eyes, you were really good. I.
Thank you.
Well, she used to play for me, too.
And we had a, whenever we'd have a recital, of course, she'd make us memorize the piece.
Who was your teacher?
His aunt.
That's an interesting thing.
Interestingly,
when she was
his
a little tiny girl, she took lessons from my aunt.
Hmm.
And I didn't know her. I grew up in my grandfather's place where my aunt lived, and she taught music at a nice piano. And I'd slip in, sit down, and listen to her play. Mm-hmm. And she was taking her lesson. She had curls. I thought she was the most beautiful little girl.
I was 8 years old.
Little did you know that you would later marry her.
And her name was Gladys Brown, and she was an old maid. And after that, she went to college and turned up at Mount Fort Junior as my English teacher 1 year.
How about that?
But in the meantime, I had taken lessons from her and didn't know a thing about fall.
Hmm.
And then when I took lessons later, it was from Myrtle Philpott there on Adams Avenue and 20th Street, right around the corner from the old school. And
well,
the Browns lived on 23rd Street and about, oh, between Madison and Monroe there someplace.
Hmm.
Okay, you got a question.
Well, I was going to say, I thought I had you found once. I got over to, I'm not sure which ward it was. Looking in what they call the IGI over at the library, I found a June S. Brown. June L. Brown. I found a June L. Brown.
Oh.
So I thought, well, the name's still in Ogden, and that's got to be June Larson Brown. See? I know you're married to Brown. So I called up that telephone number. And yeah, there are Browns around here next door, and next door there were three Browns in that very same area. But June L. Brown turned out to be June Labron Brown.
Oh, how about that?
So I missed on that one, and then I had to go back to work again.
I remember when you identified June Labron Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Thank goodness.
So relieved.
He's so stubborn. He just can't. There's still one he hasn't found.
Yeah,
he
I thought I'd found
it.
Another one. And
her name?
It was, she lived with her grandparents, whose name was Polder, on 30th Street. And they were next door, but it's across a big vacant lot of the old brickyard. I don't know if you remember the brickyard on 30th Street or not. That's where we lived when we came back to Ogden.
Oh.
It was a real old house at 664 30th Street on the brickyard property.
Oh.
And we lived there. The rent was $8 a month. There were two light bulbs in the house.
Oh. And no hot water.
No hot water. You put a tub outside to heat the water in the summertime in the sun. And then all the boys would go through the bath water, and then Mom would mop the floor with the rest.
Yeah, right. Didn't waste water.
Well, anyway, this girl's name was Hibbert. Joy Naomi Hibbert.
Oh.
And I thought I had her traced down until last night when I made some telephone calls, and wasn't her at all, so I still have to find that one. They got lost in Idaho somewhere. That's...
Oh. Yeah.
gonna be harder.
Down to Idaho.
Well, tell me, do you remember anything about my mom and dad that was interesting to you?
I remember one thing. I was over to your place one evening, and it must have been in the fall or winter, and your mother, I don't know if she was serving supper or if I just smelled it and made some remark, I don't know. But anyway, she said, would you like to taste it? And I said, yes. And what it was, she had made some soup from a soup bone, and that's all it was just the broth, just the beef broth. Mm-hmm. And that tasted so good to me, huh. I went right home and said, told my mother she had to get a soup bone and make some soup like that. I can remember that so distinctly.
Well, our kids can't remember how tough things were.
Right.
I can remember in Marriott at the very worst time of the Depression, and my relatives were the same way, my Tracy relatives. They take a little pat of butter, put in some water, toast some toast, and then
not even milk?
Break up the toast, put it in a bowl, and that was your supper.
Right.
It's pretty tough.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know whether this was finished or whether, you know, whether that was all she was serving, but it was all it was the clear beef broth.
Mm-hmm.
And all that tasted good, and I never will forget it.
Well, I can remember when we left for Marriott, your parents had us over to eat.
Oh.
And the meal was great, except for red beets.
You never liked them.
And I didn't like red beets. And my mom was trying to get me to eat those red beets, so I remember that meal. But all I can remember about it is red beets I didn't want to eat. I was about six or seven.
No matter how hungry they are, they still have their likes and dislikes.
Right. Do you remember if it was in the summer or not, or in the early fall? It probably came, the beets probably came out of Dad's garden.
Is that right?
Because over on the vacant lot to the south of our house, he gardened.
Oh.
He was an avid gardener.
Well,
it doesn't matter.
Well, I've been trying to remember when we left there, too. I don't have it figured out exactly. It was sometime around 1927, perhaps late 1926. So maybe it was in the fall then, around 26. I do remember that we bought a cow somewhere over Wilson Laneway or farther, and we had an old Ford truck. I don't know that we even owned it. Maybe it's borrowed. But we had to go real slow, and I was supposed to be out trying to keep that cow going. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to follow the truck.
Yeah.
I was tied around the neck to the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And your parents followed us in their car.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All the way to the house we lived in Marriott.
Well,
nice neighbor.
And that had to be a little old Ford, because we didn't even have one it could have been the Maxwell.
It had to be the Maxwell because Ford Ford didn't come out.
30.
29.
This was a Model T Ford that I know we were driving.
But all we ever had was a Maxwell that Dad bought after World War I for an exorbitant price, and it was a lemon. And then when my cousin Versa Littlefield, who was a teacher, bought this little Model A coupe and decided to sell it, Dad bought it, had a rumble seat.
Oh,
wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Rumble
a good
seat
little car, and he had it for quite a while.
Yeah, and then Jack took it.
So, anything else you might remember about my dad or mom?
I don't remember your father, really, at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they worked late. He worked, if a man had a job, he worked late.
Oh, I'm sure.
It wasn't any of these 8-hour days in those days.
Right, everybody did everything they could for anything they could get.
Right.
My dad was very fortunate that he had a steady job, but during the worst depression, he did get laid off for a short time, and then when he had his teeth out, he was off one day from work with that.
Well, see, Dad, his father, even in 1941, when we got married in September, he was working out to Hillfield on the railroad out there.
Oh.
And he couldn't even get off to come to our wedding.
Yes, yes.
So.
What did your father work at?
He was an American Railway Express messenger.
Oh, was he?
First on the train, and then on the wagons, and then on the trucks.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you were probably the richest ones in the neighborhood.
Well, I have no idea.
Because we had a girl, Clothiel Gale. I don't know if you ever remember her.
Was she Myron's sister?
Ninth Ward.
Oh, no, these were on Cross Street.
Yeah, these, I remember her parents' name. But he worked on the railroad, and they were the richest ones in our neighborhood. And then next, I guess, was my father. He was a plumber.
Oh, yes.
So in our house, we had hot running, hot water, and we had indoor plumbing.
Yeah.
Most of the other neighbors had to go out to the outhouse.
Well, we had an outhouse.
You
did you have one, too,
bet.
On
we
right
had
there?
That.
Uh-huh.
Did